Hi, and welcome to another exclusive SearchOracle.com podcast. I'm Ed Scannell, site editor. Today we're talking with Don Burleson, well-known corporate consultant in the Oracle world and the CEO of Burleson Consulting. I'll be talking to Don about database scaling and how it can improve your operational efficiencies. As part of that discussion, we'll be asking Don for what advice he can offer database administrators for what things should be on their checklist when starting a database scaling project, what unique challenges are involved in scaling a database when it involves business intelligence and decision support applications, what advice he can offer in selecting outside consultants as opposed to enlisting Oracle technical support organization, what are some of the things to think about in balancing human and hardware costs, and more. So welcome, Don. It's good to have you on once again. So just generally speaking, how can database scaling help improve a larger company's operational efficiencies?
Well, scalability is important for all companies, large and small. Small companies obviously hope to become large companies someday, but even for large existing companies, planning for scalability can save you millions of dollars in your resource budgets. Even though the cost of hardware and disk has fallen dramatically, it's still very expensive, and a lot of companies invest millions of dollars every year in hardware and software resources. The problem is waste. A lot of companies I go into will buy very expensive RAM memory for a server and not even be using a fourth of it in anticipation of scaling, when in reality they could have held back on that RAM, bought a server that had slots for additional resources, and used the same techniques they use in just-in-time manufacturing, where the DBA plans, anticipates resource needs, and just-in-time, they purchase that additional hardware and slap it in. It's a gerrymandering tactic that can be used by IT managers to save hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So, Don, as people get started with some of these projects, is there a checklist of items they should have in hand before they get ready to scale a mission-critical database?
When you're getting ready to scale a mission-critical database, you need to take a look at many things, but there aren't any hard and fast checklists. A lot of people will choose best-of-breed vendors, which is one of the things Oracle hopes to be in the hardware arena. But a company may choose EMC for their disks, Sun, HP, or IBM for their servers, best-of-breed products within that. But at the same time, they need to be looking ahead and understand that the economic reality of hardware today is such that their server that they just spent $500,000 on is going to be next to worthless in 5 and certainly 10 years' time. So what they have to be able to do when they buy hardware is to buy it and use it, because hardware will depreciate regardless of use. There's no such thing as buying a server and keeping it in the back as if those CPU cycles can be used later. The economics just don't work that way. But when companies plan for the future, the idea should be within a hardware region to scale on an as-needed basis and go with vendors that offer boxes with lots of slots, so I can add more CPU as it becomes necessary. I can add more RAM and disk resources as I need them.
What are some of the more common mistakes that people make at the beginning of a database scaling project?
Some of the more common mistakes I see that people make when they start a scalability project are adopting software tools that they don't need right away. The biggest one is Oracle Real Application Clusters. It's absolutely true that as companies grow to behemoths to the point where no single server will work for them, they want to get into RAC. And it's important to remember that RAC has two purposes. It's used for both high availability and for scalability. For high availability, it's a wonderful tool when you need to protect yourself against server failure, but it's also used by scalability, but only by companies that saturate their monolithic servers. So, for example, if I were to buy an HP, a Sun, or even Unisys has 64 processor machines now, million-dollar machines, it's going to take a while before you saturate that and need to go out and buy another server. So taking on the expense of software tools like RAC prematurely is a very big mistake that I see.
Are there any unique or special challenges involved in scaling a database when it involves business intelligence or decision support or reporting kinds of applications?
It's very important to be successful in scalability that you monitor what's going on in your system, and this often involves the use of advanced tools. Your database administrator needs to be able to use predictive analytics. Oracle has both the StatsPak database and a thing called the Automated Workload Repository database, which tracks historical trends. And anyone with a knowledge of basic statistics can go in, take historical data, perform simple linear regressions. You can even do it right within the Excel spreadsheet chart wizard. Take a look at past trends, forecast trends. And the idea is, just like with just-in-time manufacturing, you need to know how long it's going to take to get the resources in. So, for example, if it takes a month to get a new disk array in, you had better anticipate your disk needs at least 30 days in advance. Same goes for RAM. But a lot of companies don't do that. They're flying blind, and they wind up hitting a wall. And that's when it can be very, very serious, especially for companies that have mission-critical systems that they need to keep up. I've been in shops where all of a sudden they will run out of RAM resources, discover that it's going to take like a week for the vendor to get in and add new ones. Well, what are we going to do in the meantime? How do we keep our end-user response time up? These become huge emergencies that are totally unnecessary, and it's all because of lack of planning on the manager's part.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what Oracle-based tools would you suggest that they have in hand as they start a project, but I think you've pretty much answered that just now.
If I could briefly talk about that. When an organization starts with scalability, Oracle provides them the database with what I think is a brilliant strategy. Oracle is trying to push down into the market, while its competitors like SQL Server are trying to push up. The question becomes, how do you take the world's most flexible and robust database and make it as easy and simple to use as the lesser databases like SQL Server? Well, Oracle's answer to this was to create automated umbrellas over it, so that someone without a lot of technical background can actually use one of the world's most flexible and robust databases. Oracle has automated storage management, automated memory management, automated database advisors. They even offer a two-day DBA class, because when you use the automated features, Oracle chooses defaults for you. And that's one of the scalability things that Oracle has that makes it very important. Because initially you want to use all these automated tools, but as your system grows out of the departmental level, you're suddenly processing hundreds or thousands of transactions per second. You can turn off these automated features and get in and use all of the internal robust stuff that Oracle has to offer. So what Oracle is doing to compete with the other systems is by giving us a product that can start simple, and you simply peel off the automated umbrellas as your demands become greater.
Do you have any guidance for those in charge of these projects in terms of balancing human and technology costs?
When balancing human and technology costs, we have to remember that there's really been a huge paradigm shift over the last 20 years, and a lot of senior IT managers don't see this. In net present value dollars, Oracle professional salaries have remained about the same. And a good Oracle DBA can commonly earn as much as a mid-level manager or even a vice president. But at the same time, we see a rapid decline in the cost of hardware. Back in the 1980s, I once bought an IBM 3380 disk. It was the size of a refrigerator with two-foot-long platters, and that thing cost over $200,000 for 1.2 gig of disk. Today, for $2,000, I can buy a gigabyte of RAM. So what's happened in the market is that the cost of hardware relative to the cost of people has changed dramatically, and that changes the way IT managers do business. A perfect example is dealing with legacy applications. If I have to redesign a third normal form application from back in the 1990s, it can take months, cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But because hardware is so cheap, a lot of IT managers today will simply move it to solid state disk, where it does I/O 600 times faster, and forget about it. It's not a root cause fix. It doesn't fix the actual cause of the problem, which is a poorly designed application, but it's cheap, it's fast, and it makes sense to do. So IT managers always have to keep in the back of their mind this idea that relative costs, human resources are much more expensive than machine resources.
I know you've talked about this before, but what's your advice for selecting outside consultants as opposed to, you know, Oracle's technical support on these projects?
Well, Oracle as a corporation is focused primarily these days on their applications tools, your Oracle e-business suites and that sort of thing, and they're really not competitive in the core database market. Again, I'm not bashing Oracle, but a lot of companies will seek outsiders who have extensive experience using Oracle, and they're not hard to find. You can find database administrators with more than 20 years' experience, people who have actually been through it, and that is money well spent. A good industry consultant who's been through it before can save companies hundreds of thousands of dollars. Things like standards and naming conventions, which might seem relatively straightforward, can be very important when you're starting to scale these systems. You need to be able to follow Oracle's optimal flexible architecture. It's called OFA. You need to be following industry standards and best practices. And a lot of companies will get penny wise and pound foolish and not call in outside experts. But you can get someone who can come in, set up an infrastructure, especially like we talked about for monitoring and capacity planning. Oracle now has all these tools at your fingertips, but you still need to be able to know how to use them. I have my own product, Ion for Oracle, which essentially analyzes past historical trends and uses it for predictive modeling. That can be done with Oracle's own data mining tools. But you have to know what you're doing, know what you're after, so that you don't get caught with your pants down when you are the, quote, victim of rapid expansion. It's great, it's exciting when a system expands, but at the same time, an IT manager is generally judged by how they're keeping unplanned outages. End users today have very low patience for systems that perform slowly or systems that are unavailable. I know on my own stuff, if I'm 2 seconds waiting for a web page to load, I'm hitting the back button and going to a competitor. So the bar has been raised.
Mm-hmm. I should have asked you this a little bit early, but what do you think IT shops should focus on as maybe the top two or three goals for scaling a database? A lot of times things like user productivity is overlooked.
Well, one of the goals that IT managers have to keep in mind is empowering their end users to have access to their own data. I do a lot of consulting for Fortune 500 companies, and I come in and talk to the end users, and they feel like they've been handcuffed. They say, well, these IT managers, they're managing and controlling our data, but they don't give us access to it. It's like we have handcuffs on. We are not empowered to be able to use our own data to solve problems. And a lot of this ties directly into scalability, because anytime you offer your end users access to your data, you have to be aware that they're going to be burning a lot of cycles. And it's not an uncommon problem with anybody that uses end-user query tools like business objects or crystal reports. These things can make the lights dim in the machine room because end-user's demands on the system can be relatively innocuous. They might say, well, show me the average of all sales for this product of all time, not realizing that they've just entered a query that might involve hundreds of millions of IOs. They don't understand what's going on under the background. They just simply have a business need that needs to be fulfilled, and it's up to the technical staff to make sure that those computing resources are there when they need them. They have to remember that your internal staff are end users, too, just as much as your external customers.
When do IT shops need to start considering a scale-up, scale-out approach to things instead of just scaling up?
One of the most common misunderstandings with Oracle scalability is this whole idea of scale up to scale out. Oracle themselves in Oracle 10G fostered this idea of grid control, which, by the way, I don't completely agree with. Their idea is to use these inexpensive server blades, and if you've ever seen them, they look like blades because they're only a half inch tall and they're rack wide, but they don't have a lot of horsepower. They'll have either 2 or 4 gigabytes of RAM, 2 or 4 CPUs on board. That's Oracle's vision of scaling up, is to gen in these little server blades on an as-needed basis. I've found in the industry that companies are much more successful when they're scaling up by buying a large monolithic server with a lot of slots. They all offer them. Dell, Unisys, IBM, HP, Solaris all have boxes where you might only have 4 CPUs, but they're expandable to 32 CPUs. You might only start with 8 gig RAM, but they're expandable to 128 gig RAM. And there's no better way of having on-demand resource consumption as you scale up than to have it right in that physical mainframe where you can add it. But the biggest misunderstanding is the whole scale out. You don't want to start with a whole bunch of itty-bitty servers and start moving into rack. Anytime you're using clustering technologies, and don't get me wrong, rack is absolutely wonderful for high availability, but it, by necessity, imposes complexity on the system. You need a highly trained DBA to manage and drive it. You have to partition your application across all of the nodes of rack. And the biggest mistake people get into is getting into rack prematurely. The whole scale out is for big companies, places like Amazon, places like eBay that are processing thousands of transactions per second with terabytes of data. A lot of companies, as they scale up, even to very large systems, do not need to do scale out. You'd be amazed at how much you can run on a 64 CPU machine with 120 gig of RAM. These boxes are screamers, and they can support thousands of transactions per second without having to use cluster technology.
Well, tomorrow Oracle is going to release the GA bits of Oracle 11G Release 2. Anything in there that, in terms of improvements for scaling capabilities in that product?
Yeah, I'm not aware of anything that applies. I mean, it's basically enhancements to old stuff and getting stuff that was buggy working properly.
They've done some nice things, as I understand there. Three or four different new features to save money, mostly involving rack and this rack one node thing, being able now to house production servers with test servers, eliminating the need to buy extra hardware. A lot of nice little things that they've built in there to save people money. I think that was a wise thing to do. But
right. Well, that's getting into their mistake. I mean, Oracle, like all vendors, don't always hit the mark. Oracle back in the 90s was big on object-oriented database, but the market wasn't. In 10G, Oracle was real big on grid computing with these tiny little server blades. The features in 11G Release 2 you just talked about are server consolidation. People are recognizing that there's no better way to provide resources than to consolidate everything together. I've had clients, they'll take 15 servers with all the databases on them and put them back into one, because there's a lot of waste involved when you use a lot of servers. They all have to be over-allocated with RAM, all over-allocated with CPU to deal with their processing spikes. If you put it all in one box, those same resources can be used by whatever databases happen to live on them.
Okay, last question then was, is there anything that Oracle might be able to pick up or learn here from Sun's database scaling on the open source side of things?
Well, Solaris and Oracle have had a long partnership together, and Solaris has never really been a database-centric company. They managed to acquire MySQL through other acquisitions, but they're still remaining primarily a hardware vendor. But the Sun acquisition with Oracle is going to give Oracle IT managers more choices. Sun, for example, has their own hardware-level clustering things, which can, in some cases, complement rack. But I'm not aware of anything that Solaris is really doing there, Ed.
I was just asking. I thought maybe they'd done something from the open source community that was introduced in terms of scaling for MySQL. I wasn't sure. I was just kind of throwing it out there.
I would be surprised to see MySQL going much of anywhere after the whole acquisition's complete.
Yeah, I get that feeling that they've been kind of ignoring it so far. I don't understand it completely. I think they could use it as an effective tool to compete against Microsoft there.
Well, they're giving away XE anyway. I mean, that was what IBM did back in the 80s. They used to give away DB2 for free, and just to get people hooked on it.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for speaking with us today, Don. To learn more about what Burleson Consulting has to say about scaling databases, you can visit their website at www.dba-oracle.com. And remember to check in with searchoracle.com for more information about database scaling and other technical news about Oracle. Thanks for listening in today. For searchoracle.com, I'm Ed Scannell.